What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Day Marie.
It's the one and only Danielle.
It's the soulful sage himself, Boston Shaw.
You love it. You love it. You love it. All right, bet. So this is episode one of the Spoken Soul podcast. Anybody want to tell them why we're here? Like, what is Spoken Soul? Why? What are we doing?
Day Marie, they know. They know what they signed up for when they pressed play. They saw the bio. They heard the trailers. They saw the information under the episode title. We here for poetry, poems, and poets and discussions about those things that deal with the soul. That's why we here.
All right, then. Great summary. I'm glad y'all are tuned in with us today. And so we're just going to get right into it. This episode, we're going to give you a taste of the soul. So a little snippet of what you have to expect from us as poets and, you know, guest poets, et cetera, et cetera. So today we're going to give us a sample of each other's poetry and y'all will get to hear it first. You heard it. All right. So who's starting first?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and go first. I presented myself as the one and only, so I need to be number one to go.
Okay, miss. All right. Come through. Go ahead. Kick us off.
All right. Okay. I've never experienced being shot, but I think I can assume what it feels like. Because when Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor were gunned down, the bullets not only hit them, but ripped through my flesh to my heart as I pondered. Is my black skin only meant for pain? Am I asking for a life sentence for exiting the womb of my black mother? When my umbilical cord was cut, did that signify the beginning of my life being cut short? Is the blood the doctor wiped away from my newborn body a prelude to the blood on the leaves from the trees that bear strange fruit? Because although I've never experienced being shot, I've had to bite the bullet that is America, where I do not feel free. Yet I feel brave to say their names.
Come through.
Okay. Okay.
That's deep. What's the name of that, Danielle?
So I'm one of those poets that actually doesn't give my poems titles.
Okay.
And I don't know. I just don't do it because I feel like I'm thinking too hard about the perfect title when the focus really should be on my poem. So that's a poem that I wrote during the summer. I was really frustrated. Matter of fact, it wasn't during the summer. It was, I think during in March, like when I first found out about Ahmaud Arbery and then like the Breonna Taylor, the killing of her.
Yeah.
So it was just really heavy on my heart. And I really felt like I just needed to get my feelings out because I was frustrated, but I also wanted to be hopeful at the same time. But you know how that is.
Yes.
In America.
Right.
Even right now. And it's about to be March again.
That's crazy. Wow. A whole year later, yo. That's really deep. Right. But we'll save that discussion for later in the show. So who wants to go next? I nominate B. Shaw over there, homie.
B. Shaw.
All right. That's what we summoning. Summoning the soulful sage to smother his rhymes on this singing stage. Don't get me started.
Ooh, don't get me started. Not the freestyle, though. Okay.
All right, y'all. So, as you know me as a soulful sage, I go by many names, but today B. Shaw. So, here goes my poem. It's called Poetic Flows Number 6. Don't mind the number, just love the name. Here we go. I fathom words from all prophets. Siphled through all the losses, bringing thine energy from the high as I'm stronger than all your bosses. You saying you serve the great, then your energy shouldn't dissipate when I call on his heavenly name and he will shine out through the fakes. My spirit can't be depleted because my God has never been defeated. He pressured me to this earth because otherwise my wings would make me leave it. Put me with all the masses to stop that all the fastest. You lying, pushing for division, making your words divide. I call for the greats, multiply, do the opposites, but part of the divine. I animate my words so even kids will recite these lines, and they'll keep on shining through forever, never stopping, never dying. There we go.
Hey, okay. Listen, y'all are giving me life today. I literally have real life chills. Y'all can't see me because this background blurring me out, but but no, I love that. I love that. So
thank you.
I'm gonna ask you that question after we get into it. But
yeah.
I'm gonna say that. Yeah. I have a couple questions, but I'm gonna save that for later in the show. All right. All right, so I guess I'm next. I'm the last one to go, and I'm gonna cut my hello. But now I'm gonna cut my camera off because y'all know I'm shy. So here we go. this poem is called "Slave to Society," and I won't give any background to it till later. So here we go. I am a slave to society, always second best, never priority. Consistently fighting to exceed the rest, but what's the use? You still don't see me. I'm just a pawn to you. Another tool in the shed. You claim you're helping me, when in reality, you're just using me to help you get ahead. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but I am not an object. I am a human being. I am not for sale. My worth is priceless, and you can tell, which is why you're threatened. Stop using me as a disguise. I am tired of covering for you and your lies. I refuse to be a victim of this societal fallacy. When will it come to an end? Today, I say today. It is up to us, that means US, to make amends. So, in the words of Dr. King, I have a dream, and that is to let freedom ring. I'm back.
That's smooth with it.
Let it ring.
That's smooth with it. Look at that. Bringing in the declaration in there.
That's it. I mean, I thought it was only right since we kicking it off for Black History Month. What other way to?
Yeah, our episode is coming out.
You know?
Black History Month. Mm-hmm.
It is Black History Month. So let's go ahead and get into this discussion of each of our poems and how we got into poetry. Boston, I'm going to start with you because I said I had a question. First of all, what inspired that poem?
Honestly, sometimes. So, especially with that series, whenever I put flow in it, it was literally just a moment that just came to me.
Mm-hmm.
With like, so I guess going into how I write these poems, I guess it'd be a good time to discuss that too.
Yeah.
Since I started out rapping before poetry, the type of rapper I wanted to become, just me being weird, I was like, I gotta be the best freestyle rapper there can be.
Mm-hmm.
So I would train like freestyling all the time, from just rapping about anything, just, oh, I see that color, let me try and make rhymes about it.
Yeah.
So there'll be random times now, like the skills develop where I just want to say something. And that's like, not even from me practicing, but like from above, like I'll definitely just feel and say, oh, I got some words I need to put out. And then I'll just say them until they finish, write it down, I record it, and call it a day. So this one literally was just happening. I think I was just working in the school, and just from what I was reading, I was getting back reading some philosophy books, and just it was about political philosophy.
Yeah.
So just thinking about that, and then other revolutions, and all types of fun things that's been going on this year, that poem just came to me through that and helped me explain my thoughts and how I was feeling.
Got you. I love that. And you know, something that I heard both you and Danielle both say is how poetry is a way for you to channel your thoughts and channel your feelings, which I think a lot of people don't understand about poetry, is that a lot of people start based on trying to channel how they feel. So Danielle, you want to tell us how you got into poetry or why?
Well, I still wanted to make a comment about Boston's poem.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's very evident that like your poetry comes from like more of a place of musicality, because you definitely had rhyme, and I feel like for some people, implementing rhymes in their poems sometimes can hinder them from getting their points across because they're thinking so hard about, oh, what word can I use to make this rhyme that still makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
And I really appreciated the fact that the poems made perfect sense. Like, and the rhyme was just so good. It really made me feel like I was kind of listening to a rap. Like, I was bobbing my head over here. I was like, okay, like, I really liked what you did with that. And I appreciate your writing style.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy for people to do at all. I think, like you said, a lot of people get lost in the rhyme scheme that they kind of start, for lack of better terms, sounding stupid. So the fact that you were able to still sound and hold your ground through your lyricism is what I'll call it, because that's what it was, speaks volumes as a poet and as an artist in general. So yeah, Danielle, you want to elaborate on how and why you got into poetry?
Yeah, so for me, I feel like I've always been a writer. Like, even when I was younger, like, I was always writing. I learned how to write when I was pretty young, like, younger than, like, the average time that people, like, kids know how to write.
Yeah.
So I kind of just basically remember, okay, just writing random feelings, journaling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So then once I got into middle school, that's when poetry kind of got introduced to me. And it's just funny, I'm thinking about it now, how like my peers, like whenever we got introduced to poetry lessons, they'd be like, oh my God, like, I don't want to do this. Like, why do we have to do this? I don't want to have to write this poem.
Yeah.
And express my feelings, or I'm not good at writing poems. I don't know how to rhyme. And I'm just sitting here like, oh, I like to do this. I'm tired of doing math and all that other stuff. Like, I'm enjoying poetry. I want to do this, and I want to let the class know what I wrote. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying all that to say that it kind of transformed into this thing where, oh, I'm writing about how, like, oh, violets are red. I mean, oh my God.
I see. Oh, that's just your creative sense. Okay. I like that.
That's it. It's okay.
Yeah, symbolism.
Basically, like, I'm writing like simple poems like that. But then once I got a little bit older and I started to go through things, like situations that it's hard to kind of talk about, mm-hmm. you know, having feelings of angst and stuff like that, I realized, like, okay, poetry is something for me that is like a coping mechanism. Yeah. Like, it's my way of coping with the world around me and with the things that I have going on. Like, it's not just me rhyming, like, and being cute. Like, it's actually like, okay, this is my life. And if you read my poems, you can actually get a glimpse of my life and, you know, the things that I've gone through. So for me, poetry is really just like a mental escape, I guess.
I like that, a mental escape. As a mental health person, I love when people incorporate creativity and mental health, because I'm such a huge advocate for using creative art therapy. I do that a lot in my internship, and it speaks volumes. I think when I started doing poetry, I'm trying to think exactly when I started, was, I don't even know if I was in school yet, to be honest. I just remember sitting in the bed and I wrote something about stars. I don't know what it was about. It probably made no sense because I was little, and my mom read it with me, and from that time forward, I just kind of loved writing. I was never really a talker because I felt like my voice was always silenced growing up, or like people dismissed me or what I had to say. And so a lot of my poems come from a place of not feeling heard. So whenever you hear my poems, they might not necessarily tell a story, but you can definitely tell I'm trying to say something, and I have a lot to say, and this is my way of getting you to not only understand me, but also interpret it in your own way. Because like I said earlier, poetry is always open for interpretation. You can ask the writer if they're still alive. You can ask the writer what they were feeling or how they, you know, or how they felt when they wrote it. But, you know, how it portrays to another person, I feel, has a bigger impact than how it was supposed to be construed, if that makes sense. Like, what I intended this poem to be could not necessarily be its full purpose. The purpose is to reach you in your state where you're at. And that's how I write my poetry. That's why I got into poetry, because like I said, I don't really like talking. I'm not a talker, even though on the podcast it might seem like I am. I'm very shy, very to myself. And poetry, mm-hmm. like Danielle said, was my escape. It wasn't my go-to. Dance was actually my go-to, and drama. And I always liked my English classes. So those three things combined, once I kind of got introduced to poetry in depth, I was like, oh, wow, I like this. I really like doing this, not necessarily having to rhyme and just kind of spilling my thoughts on a page and not even having to let people know. It was just kind of one of those things I would write in my book and tuck away until today, 23 years later, now actually sharing it with people. So I'm glad that we're all here together, y'all. Like, this is epic. This is something that people haven't seen before. This isn't, especially in a pandemic, poetry slams aren't happening like they used to. You know, a lot of people need hope, and hopefully we can do that for the people. So
yeah, before we move on, I wanted to say something about both of y'all's poetry. It's interesting that both of y'all started at a young age, and from a school standpoint. I know Danielle talked about how she got into poetry after learning about it in English class, being like, hey, we can write about this. She said, oh, this slaps, let's keep it going. So, like, definitely coming from an academic mindset and at a young age, definitely gave it time and, I'll say, a pathway on how to progress, like combining it to your studies. And I've been listening to more of your poems. Like, I could tell the topics definitely will be deep and analytical, or if they're not, it's still good. But coming from that academic starting point for your poems, definitely like hits your style in a different way than I bet others will see it. And even you, Miracle, starting it just from like your expression of feelings, you definitely see that in the topics you discuss and the messages you want to put, whether they're in a story form or not. Mm-hmm. There still will always be a message shared from either the pain or joy or whatever feeling that you're creating, making sure that your poems will be varied. And I think those are both important stylistic components that y'all both own in y'all's poetry that I just wanted to make sure it was pointed out and said.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we're all unique in our poetry style, so that speaks volumes as well. We're all coming together, kind of giving everybody a taste of what all you can do with poetry, because I think poetry is very versatile and people don't really understand that. But again, that's a topic for another discussion. So what's next on the agenda, y'all? What's next?
So next, we are going to just kind of get into, you know, the fact that some people may really feel that poetry is starting to become a lost art, you know? I definitely wanted to ask you guys, Why do you think some people don't like poetry?
That's a good question, because I think it's a hard question for me to answer personally, because I don't associate with people. Okay, that sounds bad. Wait, backtrack. Backtrack.
Baby, I don't know. Maybe it's your truth.
Backtrack. Your honesty. I have not encountered.
Speak from your soul, Miracle.
Period. Okay, I haven't encountered anybody that dislikes poetry. I've maybe encountered individuals who haven't studied poetry in the way that I may have studied poetry, but they never disliked it. But mm-hmm. maybe only thing I could think of is, again, this is probably a topic for another episode. When people think of poetry, I think they do associate it a lot with school and how school has taught poetry. Yeah. So the way it's taught in English has probably tainted some people's version of what poetry what poetry really is. Also, when you think of music, a lot of people don't consider music to be poetry. And so mm-hmm. until they kind of correlate the whole picture of what poetry can be, I think they kind of dismiss it as like, oh, that's not important, or oh, that's not really, you know, whatever. So that's just my perspective on it. So I don't know.
No, I think the same. Like, I'm going to go off of that vibe. I think, like, usually when you talk of poetry, it's like, oh, if it's not deep, then it's not a poem. If it's not like a famous poet, then it doesn't count as poetry. So when you consider it like that, you don't consider people like Kendrick Lamar, or like rappers, like many others. Like I only say Kendrick Lamar because that was the first person to come to mind.
Wale,
yeah, like all these people are also poets in their own regard. Yeah. Hip hop artists are not, like, just because you had a beat doesn't make it poetry. So
yeah,
when it's like a more wide frame view of what poetry can be, I think then people realize like, oh, I guess I do listen to poetry.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's like, oh, I'm not listening to, like, I don't know, William Wallace and Shakespeare to find my poetry. So I guess it don't count. You know what I mean?
Not the government.
Yeah. All right. That leads me to the point of my perspective on that. It kind of connects to what both of you guys said, how in school, when we're in school, most of the time when your teacher is going over like the poetry lessons or and whatnot, you're learning about poets who are old white men. So
facts.
I feel like subconsciously in that regard, like people feel like, oh, I'm not that person. Like I'm not higher in society to where I can use these big words that these, you know, like these white men are using. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, like people feel like some poetry has to be complex, but to me, poetry is simplifying the complex. Like you're using metaphors and imagery and all kind of things so that people can get a better understanding of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So to kind of better wrap what I'm trying to say is that, you know, when you have people like old white men talking about things that you can't completely relate to, it makes you feel like, oh, I'm not in the position to be a poet. Mm-hmm. Like I don't look like that person.
Yeah.
And even when it comes down to it, when we do learn about a black poet, usually, you know, you're just learning about the pain that we feel mm-hmm. being black people in America. Mm-hmm. Like oftentimes you don't see poems about black people talking about love or their friendships with other people. So then it's like, okay, as a black person or just in general a person of color,
mm-hmm.
I still feel like I can't be a poet because of the fact that what if I don't want to talk about these things? What if I want to talk about love and talk about my friends? Or what if I want to say something silly like what I said, violets are blue? I mean, well, I said violets are red. Yeah, I corrected it this
silly.
Time.
Violets can't be blue. You right.
So yeah, I'm saying all of that to say like the representation aspect of it and making it so academic where you feel like you can't just enjoy a poem. Like you have to talk about the metaphors mm-hmm. and everything. Like it just right. takes away from actually the initial purpose of like talking about your feelings and the things that you're yeah. seeing in the world.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I completely agree. I second both of what you guys said, and I don't know. I think this podcast hopefully will open the minds of many people, people who like poetry and people who don't. Maybe it'll give them that perspective of like, oh, hey, poetry isn't what I thought it was, or poetry, I can do poetry, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that we can really open up some people's minds and perspectives and show them a different side.
Well, that's the mood. That's the plan then. Let's do it.
All right. So
I think we can do it.
I think so too. I guess that leads us to kind of sum up the purpose of this podcast. Like I we introduced ourselves, we introduced a little snippet of our poems, but what is the actual purpose of the podcast? Who wants to explain that?
Well, Boston already said it. He said poets, poems, and poetry.
Period.
Three P's. But no, it'd probably be better if we elaborate on that.
I'll elaborate while we're here. I think definitely taking what I said and extrapolating it a bit. This
okay,
podcast
extrapolating.
Is, I'm dead. I said this man brought a dictionary to the podcast.
Okay.
No, but I think the purpose of this podcast really is to bring poetry, if we say it's a dying art, to bring it back to life. Mm. Bring it back to the mainstream, bring it back in a way that is much more accessible, that's fun, and that anybody and everybody can jump in and jump out whenever they want to.
Yeah.
Making poetry not being gatekeepers, but if anything, being gate openers and saying, hey, poetry's for everyone regardless of how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're doing it, that's what really matters.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, you summed that up pretty good.
You summed that up pretty good.
He went from the three P's to extrapolating.
Okay, that's it. Like, that's what it's all about. Opening your minds, giving you hope, bringing you something new, fresh, fun. You know, hopefully y'all don't get bored with us because we always got something new to say and a lot to talk about. You heard it here first, y'all. So that's it for the first episode. We hope that you enjoyed. Again, it's your girl Daymarie. Make sure you follow me on Instagram. That's, dang y'all, I forgot my Instagram. But I think it's Day_Marie, I think, but don't quote me on that. Just look for DeyMiree. I should pop up. All right,
you know what, to make it better, just follow the actual podcast Instagram.
There you go.
And her Instagram handle is in the bio, so please make sure you're following Spoken Soul Pod. That's SpokenSoulPod.
Yep.
POD. I feel like I was in a spelling bee. Okay. Yeah.
There you go. And that way you can follow all three of us as your hosts.
All three of us.
And just keep up to date on what's happening, new episodes to come. Like I said earlier, this is Black History Month, so a lot of what we'll be talking about will be revolved around Black History Month. But this is the first episode. We hope you enjoyed it. It's been real. Mwah.
Come back soon. Ooh, and the kiss. Ooh. Got that in my ear. Ooh. Turn the volume down before it happens. All right, y'all.
That felt like a whole nother kind of podcast.
We will see y'all next episode.
All right, see y'all for that after hours.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.